Right, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, we're going to read verses 17 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. I really think I'm going to have you out right at or just before 7 o'clock tonight, but I want to preach at you for just a little bit here and help you. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 17 through 23. And let's again read this responsively. And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And let's finish on verse 23 together. Ready? "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, I need you tonight. Would you please fill my mouth with your words, fill my mouth with your love, and fill my being with your presence and power. And would you speak through me in a special way, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me catch you up on the story here in 1 Samuel 15, and then let me take it from there another step. Saul is king of Israel. Let me say this: Saul is the first king of Israel. Up until that point in time, you had the judges, and then you had the prophets, the men of God who led the country, and the people got upset following the man of God and said, "Look, we want to be like all the other countries. We want a king, and we want a king, we want a king, we want a king." So they got Saul as their king. Now, about somewhere between 15 and 20 years have gone by, Saul is king. And we are now in 1 Samuel 15. Saul, like many people who gain power, allowed the power to go to his head. Let me say that again. Saul, like many people who gain power, allowed the power to go to his head. By the way, I'm not even talking about the fact that he just had a political position. That's why many young people, when they graduate from, well, they get to become high school or seniors in high school and then graduate, the power goes to their head. You watch a young man who gets a car and gets his driver's license, and he has the ability to drive a 3,000-pound weapon, and what happens? The power goes to his head. He starts driving fast, starts driving radical, starts squealing tires, starts driving like a crazy man, thinking he's tough and he can handle this thing. And you say, what is it? The power goes to their head. It is a natural way for sinful man to be. By the way, woman too, it's not just the men. All right? Now, if you went back, we won't take time to turn there, but in 1 Samuel 13, just two chapters back, Saul was in Gilgal when Samuel did not show up after a battle. He said, "You wait there 7 days, and I'll do the sacrifices." Samuel did not show up exactly when Saul thought he should be there. Saul got impatient, and Saul said, "Bring the sacrifices to me, and I'll do the sacrificing for Samuel." Uh-oh. Here's a political leader who wants to do God's work, and it was God's man's job to do it, not Saul's. You find out in 1 Samuel 13, that is where God said, okay, Saul, you disobeyed, you overstepped, and the kings will no longer come from you, we'll choose kings from another family. See, Saul's sons and grandsons and great-grandsons were to be the descendants of the throne, not David. That's why, as we read this morning, it talks about Joseph all the way back through David, because that was the kingly, the authority, all the way back to David. It switched. Had Saul obeyed, it would have started with Saul, not David. God struck it away from Saul. Now, that's found in 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 and 14. We won't take time to turn there. But Samuel tells Saul that the kingdom will not fall through his children. Saul had no right to offer up the sacrifices. It was not his realm of authority. Now, by 1 Samuel 15, Saul is obsessed with his power. Folks, if you talked as much as I do, every once in a while you're going to make an uh-oh, all right? Just bear with me. And then when I get as old as Ellen is, it's really going to be bad. By 1 Samuel 15, Saul is obsessed with his power. Saul has totally been consumed with his power. And God told him, look, go to Amalek, destroy all the Amalekites. By the way, God told him to go in. He said, anything that hath breath, kill it. Don't save anything. Kill the animals, kill the men, kill the women, kill the children. They're going to be the ones that are going to cause you us trouble. He said, I want them ripped off the face of the earth. You say, that doesn't sound like a just God. You don't understand who the Amalekites were. We're still dealing with them to this day. It's called Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, and Syria. Those are the Amalekites. Everybody doing all right? Would to God Saul had obeyed. But he did not. Now, Saul then is faced by Samuel. Samuel says, look, Saul, you disobeyed God again. He said, no, I didn't. He said, I killed everybody. I saved Agag the king so that you could kill him. God didn't say save Agag the king. He said, kill him all. He said, well, the people are the ones that didn't obey. I did. I killed everything I came in contact. And the only thing they did is they kept the best of it so that you, watch this, it shows you where Saul is at in his spirituality. Look at verse number 21. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed. Watch this. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. He didn't say my God, he said thy God. Saul's attitude, he was already mad at God for this kingdom thing and was so controlling in his power, he's now talking about God, he's angry with the preacher. Man has a way of self-destructing and corrupting as he gains power. Let me say that again. Man has a way of self-destructing and corrupting as he gains power. By the way, often, but not always, a man is less likely to obey God the higher up he achieves in success and power. The more likely a man is to quit acting like God, the higher up he goes in power and the more success he has. Very rare to find a successful person, a high up authority who is willing to obey God at all cost, because in our sin-cursed world, too many people sell out on God to be successful. I'll make somebody mad if I'm successful right now. I like sports, but I have zero respect, and I don't care who the player is. It says, well, bless God, I'm a professional athlete, and I'm going to use that for God. I'm going to play football on Sunday, and I'm going to play baseball Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I'm going to miss church all these years I play for the glory of God. He's not a good Christian. You can't miss that much church and bring glory to God. End of story. I'm not saying some of them aren't Christians, but they're not good Christians, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? Man, I just had fun with that one. look at the politicians. Look how few of them really are Christians. Now, there are some out there. I was just back in Kentucky. I've heard this. I'd heard this from this person on an interview. Then it was confirmed to me by one of my dear pastor friends who spoke to this person personally. But Ted Cruz is a born-again, saved Christian. I made the statement. I said, I've been impressed with him for a while. I said, he's the most like Ronald Reagan. Brother Fugit looked at me. He said, one thing, Brother Bush. He said, Ronald Reagan was a conservative. They got pulled into the conservative Christian side. I said, yes, sir. And Ted Cruz is a conservative Christian that's get pulled into the political side. He said, you nailed it. You nailed it. He said, that's the only difference. And Ted Cruz is as saved, as fundamentally saved as you and I. And I believe that. There's not many of them out there. Governor Bivens from Kentucky is one of those, and some others. And I'm not saying others aren't, but not many of them become powerful. By the way, many of them sell out. Many of them use that terminology like Jimmy Carter did. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Southern Baptist. And he's still a Southern Baptist and as liberal as a donkey. All right? Now, let me say this. Look how godless most famous people are. There's not as much to fame as people think there is. Go to Hollywood and find good Christians. Am I doing all right? Most of them are Scientologists. They believe in Christian cytology. The biggest Christian Science church in the country is in Hollywood, California. Been by it. Seen it. They're weird. They're wacko. It has nothing to do with Christianity or science, just so you know. You see, man, as he gains power, as he gains authority, wants to decide good and evil for himself, and why does he need God? Now, listen to me very carefully. Samuel, the prophet, the man of God, goes to Saul, and Samuel loved Saul. Samuel loved Saul. But it didn't matter how much he loved Saul, Samuel was going to obey God whether he loved Saul or not. Listen to me very carefully. We've gotten into a realm that people think, well, just because that's my friend, I can't change. That's my friend, and I'm not going to tell them they're doing wrong. Bless God, if you're going to do wrong, I'm going to tell you. I'm a good enough friend to tell you you're doing wrong. A friend isn't somebody that's going to let you ruin your life with wrong. A friend's going to warn you you're doing wrong. Everybody doing all right? I've got many friends in the ministry who have changed. I don't spend any time with them anymore because they've changed. I didn't change. They did. Man, I'm having fun right now. Feel like I'm on an island all by myself. But it's okay. Samuel decided he would please God over Saul any day. He tells Saul, look, the kingdom is going to be stripped from your family. He said, I anointed you as king, and I'm telling you, I have to go anoint another king because you will not be king. Your children will not follow you in the king line after you because you've let the power go to your head. Verse 27 said, when Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, When you were humble, when you were little in your own sight, you were fine. You followed God. Now that you've let the power go to your head, you're an arrogant rascal, and you're trying to decide right and wrong for yourself, and you're not listening to God. Boy, that's good. Samuel tells Saul that God delights in sacrifices. Those animals, the bloodshed, the smell of the meat being burnt and cooked on the fires. And all of that pleased God because it pictured what Jesus would do for our sins. It was a picture of Calvary. But watch this. But God said, your obedience means more than sacrifice. Your obedience to God and your obedience to the Word of God means more to God than those sacrifices. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, this verse has bothered me a long time. Oops, got to hit that button. I thought for a long time that verse meant God wants you to obey rather than give sacrificially. But that's not what it's talking about. It doesn't say obedience is better than obeying God in your tithe. Because you can't obey God in your tithe without giving. Not a matter of our financial giving. I want you to notice this is not a statement in reference to a religious practice. It is a statement about who is in control, you or God. It's about following the right channels of authority. What Samuel said to Saul was this: Saul, it is better for you to obey and stay in your realm of authority than for you to offer sacrifices that are not yours to offer. You stepped out of line by sacrificing. God even told you to destroy all those things in with the Amalekites, but you allowed the people to keep it as a sacrifice to God. It's not a sacrifice. It was supposed to be annihilated. And he said, who are you to decide what the sacrifice is? You have stepped out of your realm and stepped into God's realm, and you're wrong. And the Bible says that God said to Samuel, the Lord hath also rejected thee from being king. Wow. It was a position, not the aspect of giving or not giving. By the way, verse 23 said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God was actually saying, Saul, you knew better, and you're just acting like a witch. You have taken a spiritual world, you've brought it unto yourself, you've corrupted it, and made it something that it is not. By the way, witchcraft is real. I'm not talking about the Wizard of Oz. I'll get you, my pretty. Anyway, sorry. My daughter hates that movie. She's 18 years old and still doesn't want to see it. She's had nightmares for 15 years watching that thing. One time. Now, wait a minute. It is an act of stepping out of your realm into God's realm. God said it's better for you to obey than it is for you to offer sacrifices that are not yours to offer. Now, let me help you and we'll go to the house here. Number one, God wants leaders to have leadership over them to keep their pride down. God wants leaders who have leadership over them to keep the pride of these leaders down. Did you know everybody needs a boss? Say, what about these people that own companies? They answer to a board. One of the biggest corruptions in America today is we're allowing people that we vote in as public servants to run our country, and they're running over us, telling us we can't tell them what to do. Everybody doing all right? Man is prone by pride to overstep and try to do God's part. Genesis chapter 3. I mentioned it this morning. Satan came to Eve and Adam and said, in the day thou eatest, you can be like God. You could know good and evil for yourself. You can choose right and wrong for yourself. You don't need to listen to God. You'll have the ability to decide right and wrong for yourself. Can I tell you something? That's where you decide it, right there. Say, well, I don't need somebody to tell me what the Bible says. Then you obviously did not read it, because God gave you the church, the man of God, to tell you what it is, whether you like it or not. Not too many weeks ago, somebody visited. I visited them. They said, well, I don't think we'll be back. I said, I'm sorry. May I ask why? They said, yes, you're too much of a dictator. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm a man of God. I'll tell the truth like it is, like it or lump it. I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat, candy coat, or change anybody's diaper to do it. I said, I love people. I said, I love them enough to tell them the truth. Well, we're just not used to that kind of thing. I said, you don't have to confess your sin to me about where you're going to church. That didn't go over real well. You see, our sin nature was begun with us choosing to be God instead of God. Man's pride inflates as we get power. Isn't it amazing? Every freshman boy at college knows how to run the world. Isn't it amazing that every college graduate can walk into any position anywhere and they know more than the CEO of the company that built the company from ground up? Somebody that hadn't built a hot dog stand knows how to run the company. Isn't it amazing? The guy that pushes the button at McDonald's and puts the basket in the fryer can go out and protest and demand $15 an hour to push a button and drop frozen French fries in a fryer. Doesn't even know how long they're to be there. He's supposed to wait for it to go beep, 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 beep before he pulls them up. He doesn't even know how long it takes, but he can get $15 an hour for doing that, because it's not right for the people that own the McDonald's Corporation to tell him how much money he's supposed to get. Everybody doing all right? See, man wants to inflate his own position above that which it should be. See, that's why when our country was set up, it was set up with checks and balances. You had a House of Representatives, you had a Senate, and you had the executive branch, which is the president, and no one part could override another. They had to work in unity, and two-thirds of it had to work together to override any other part. But now we've elected people that have taken the authority away, and now it's become pretty much so a dictatorship. We are now where Cuba was in the 1950s, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? God does not want to be a dictator, but God does want to keep you from destruction. You know, God will not force you to do anything. You know, God didn't come down and walk down to Evan Barnes one day and say, Evan Barnes, you're a dirty, filthy, wicked, rotten, good-for-nothing scum of the earth sinner. If you don't get saved, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to make you do it, and grab him by the back of the neck. I'd say hair, but he didn't have any. Grab him by the back of the neck and shove him down and say, all right, you get saved. God doesn't work that way. That's dictatorship. That is not God's way. Marriage is not a sentence of judgment so that I can't have any other woman in the world. I don't want any other woman in the world because I have her. I took a vow to keep myself only under her so long as we both shall live. It was a vow, a commitment I made to her. By the way, listen to this. It keeps me from ruining my life. Some of these idiots out there that believe in polygamy. Lord have mercy, multiple mother-in-laws. Something's wrong with that mentality. Folks, you know, shopping with one is hard enough. I can't imagine doing it with more than one. I don't even like shopping. Brother Walters in Maine sent me a little doodigger on my text It said, a man's shopping path. And it had a diagram. Front door, go to this aisle, go across that aisle, go to the checkout, and go back to the car. That's all it was. Then it had underneath it a woman's shopping pattern. It went in, and the whole store was highlighted about 16 times, and then back to the car. Every aisle, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I thought, that is so true. I didn't show that one to my wife, all right? But we think differently. But can I tell you something? Marriage is not a sentence. It's a blessing. Man seems to want position and power. When he gets them, he tends to addict himself to those positions and those powers. Do you ever notice our world is hooked on titles? Good night. Society today looks too much at positions or titles or rank. Churches are getting into this. Churches are getting into, well, this is our media pastor. This is our children's ministry pastor. And this is our, wait a minute, there's to be a pastor. There are assistant pastors. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives for. We have a media pastor. I don't even know what one of those are. We ain't having one. Can I tell you why? We get so impressed with our positions. You know, it's almost offensive now for a woman to be called a secretary. They're now, what do they call that, professional assistants or administrative assistants. They've dropped the title secretary. Oh, that's such a negative term. No, it's not. If you've ever had a secretary, you thank God for them. Believe me, if I had to do all my work, I wouldn't be happy. Oh, wait a minute. Everyone wants an equal plane with God. Well, I don't understand why I can't be equal with God. You really have a problem. 1 Samuel 15:22, God knew leaders need to have authority over them to keep them in check. You see, you as a leader need to keep yourself in check. Did you know I don't technically have a boss, but I have a boss because Jesus is the head of this church, not me? We have our trustees and deacons, and I work with them on the finances of our church, but no one of us runs the whole thing ourselves. Did you know I can't sign a check for Grace Baptist Church? I can't do it. I don't have the authority to sign a check for this church. Say why? That protects you and it protects me. Did you know that the people that help me take things to the bank and the count the money, those that count the money don't have the keys to take things to the, and it just protects everybody. It's interesting. I've done everything I can to protect everybody so not every one group of people can start running a church. We diversify it and protect everybody. It's not that I don't trust people. I just know people and I want to protect them. Boy, that's good. Do you know I don't have anybody that stands at the door at 8 o'clock every morning to find out if I'm here? Most of you aren't up when I get here. I don't have a boss telling me what my hours are, except my wife. Wait a minute. Our government could be fixed by leaders obeying the laws and principles set forth by our government. If we would start falling back in line and following the authority as we are supposed to, with the checks and the balances, we could make our government continue to work when it did work. Churches could be better if they just obey the Bible and God and not come up with all their new cute little methods. And I'm going to quit on that point and go to the next one. Number two, leadership is to serve, not be served. Let me say that again. Leadership is to serve, not be served. I'm going to read just a couple of verses to you. Matthew chapter 20. I'll get to it very quickly here. You need not turn there. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28 read, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they are great. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. God said the lost world says leadership is exercising dominion, domination, power over you. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. Jesus said, whosoever is going to be great will be the servant among you. Wow. That's different. Did you know that public officials are supposed to, their official title is public servant? Not many of them serve. Are they doing okay? As you mature, let me say this. Jesus did not demand fellowship. But we chose to follow him. You know, I have no right to make you do right. None. I have no right to make you do right. Everybody hold on to your seat for a second here. Did you know grown children can only be loved and served? You can't demand they do right. I cannot demand of my grown children that they do right. My daughter's back from Bible college. She's going to spend 2 weeks in my house. I can demand she do right while she's under my roof, but what she does while she's at college, she's a big girl now. She makes her own decisions. If she messes up, she's been taught what to do that's right, but if she messes up, it's her fault, not mine. Everybody doing all right? You know, you have no right to tell them what to do. My son yesterday, he was working on something at his church. He sent me a couple pictures. He said, Dad, what do you think? And I said, I don't think I'd do it that way. He said, why? And I began to explain to him. He said, wow, nobody's ever explained it to me that way, Dad. That makes sense. I said, Josh, I said, it's only a suggestion. I'm not telling you what to do. I said, it's your church. You're the pastor. I said, you ask for my opinion, I'll give it to you. I said, but whatever you choose, it's up to you. It's your church. You know, if I go there and it's the way he had it, not the way I suggested, that's fine. He's the pastor. I'm not. He has to live with it. I don't. Are we doing okay? Yes, sir. You know, so many parents want to parent their adult children. Stop. They're not your little five-year-old anymore. You can't make them do it. You waste so much time getting frustrated over the fact that they won't obey you. You're not going to obey your parent. Why do you want them to obey you? Ouch, that one hurt, didn't it? You can offer suggestions. Sometimes I'll even say, are you open for a suggestion? Many times my children say, yeah, why, Dad? I don't think you ought to do that. Or I think you ought to do this. Really? Yeah. But I'll ask if I can offer my opinion. If they say, no, I'm not open to it, you say, what do you do? Absolutely nothing. If I were to walk up to Brother Stoltz, or Brother Gus, that's not Brother Stoltz, he has more hair. If I walked up to Brother Gus and said, Brother Gus, you're running your electric company this way, and I don't think you ought to be doing that, you know, I have no right to do that. But if Brother Gus and I were working together, and I say, Brother Gus, have you ever thought about, you know, could I maybe offer a suggestion? If Brother Gus says, sure, preacher, hey, you don't have to listen to me, because you know more about electricity than I do, but why is it this way instead of this way? But I would never push my way into doing anything. I don't think I've ever told Brother Gus anything about his company other than, I'm not touching wires. I'm not going to go back and tell Joe how to run his farm. Say why? He's milking more cows than I ever want to see. I know what comes out in real close to them where they milk them, and I don't want to be around it. I know enough about cows. They don't care where or when they do it either. Got to hit them puppies from the side, amen? Now, wait a minute. I'm not about to tell somebody how to run their life. Now, when my children were home, they needed to listen to me. But I also trained them how to make decisions along the way. You know, I didn't give them choices between right and wrong. I gave them choices between right and right. But once they made a decision, they had to stick with it. My daughter's going to laugh when I say this. My wife would teach them how to stick with a decision. It would be breakfast time. And she'd pull two or three things out and say, okay, what do you want? And everybody would choose what they want. And then my wife would sometimes say, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, you take it. You're going to eat it. Yep. And as soon as they started eating it, no, I don't want it. I want, no, 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 no. You chose that. You eat it. Did you know they didn't make a decision between right and wrong? It was between three rights. Now, we needed to teach them to follow through with the decision after they made it. And maybe they needed to think more about the decisions before they made it. Boy, that's a good statement. Just because they didn't choose to eat what I would have chosen to eat doesn't mean they chose wrong. Boy, that's good. Leaders who do not serve and expect to be served generally end up like Saul. Leaders who do not serve but expect to be served generally end up like Saul. They want authority that is not theirs to have. People have to follow their path or it can't possibly be right. Boy, that's a good statement. Do you know, I do not expect my son to pastor his church the way I pastor Grace Baptist Church. Say why? Because he's in South Shore, Kentucky, not Martinsburg, West Virginia. He's pastor of the New Hope Baptist Church of South Shore, Kentucky, not pastor of the Grace Baptist Church of Martinsburg, West Virginia. Two different groups of people, two different places, two different total cultures, everything. Why should he pastor the way I am? God didn't train him to be me. God trained him to be him. Right. See, not all successful, wealthy, or high-positioned people are bad. Listen to this statement. Just like all low-level servants are good. They're not. Well, these high and mighty rich people, they're all bad. No, they're not. Listen, about two hours ago, I was talking to Dr. Russell Anderson. Dr. Russell Anderson's a very successful, high-positioned person. Made a lot of money. Can I tell you something? He's done a lot of good for God with it and seen an awful lot of, he has seen a lot of people saved because he was a wealthy man. But the Russell Andersons are few and far between out there. But the guy working cleaning toilets at the hotel down here isn't a better man than Russell Anderson. I know people that are low on the totem pole and low on the intelligence level. Just because they're low doesn't make them a spiritual person. Boy, that's a good statement. Let's not prejudge anybody by position. Say that again. Let's not prejudge anybody by their position, whether good or bad. Did you know not all doctors are bad? Did you know not all politicians are bad? I question that statement, but I did put it in there. Did you know not all police officers are bad? By the way, did you know not all religious people are good? Let's quit prejudging by position. And I got to hurry to keep my promise. Number one, God wants leaders to have leadership over them to keep the pride down. Number two, leadership is to serve and not be served. And number three, obedience is better than overstepping your area of rule. Obedience is better than overstepping your area of rule. Can I tell you something? As you mature, as you gain success, as you get older in life, keep yourself under authority. As you grow, as you mature, as you succeed, keep yourself under authority. Allow principles, the Bible, to be your authority. And allow it to become your boss. Dad, just because you're a dad doesn't mean you can't learn how to be a better dad. Everybody doing all right? There's so many dads out there that say, well, bless God, I know exactly how to rear my kid. Right. And did you know all of them are different? Did you know when they were born, they didn't have strapped to them an owner's manual? Would to God some of them had an instruction manual, that's for sure. Did you know at work you don't know everything? Did you know in your marriage you don't know anything, men? Right. Wait a minute. Did you know that Christ is the head of the church? Dictatorship is satanic or humanistic leadership. It says you follow me or else. Dictatorship says you follow me or else. Any man that has to look at his kids or look at his wife and say, I'm the man, you follow me. You just lost your leadership. Just trust me. If you have to demand that they follow you, Jesus said, follow me. I'm going, fellas. And he turned around and started walking. They started following him. He didn't demand that they followed him. When they forsook him, he didn't get mad and angry and start throwing things. He didn't pound the table and say, bless God, you follow me. I'm the leader. No, he didn't. You see, by the way, that's why I can prove that Allah and Muhammad are wrong, because they say if you don't follow what they believe, to kill people that don't believe it. Anybody that says either follow this or I'll kill you, that's dictatorship. It's wrong, it's evil, and it's not right. By the way, let your kids grow up and make their mistakes. Prevent as many as you can. Teach them how to make good decisions. But once they're grown, quit beating yourself up if they're not making good decisions. Everybody doing all right? Going to help you here. In politics, people like Hillary and Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and our current president, they're dictators. They're not leaders. I don't think you should name names. Then don't name them, I will. I'm not afraid of it. Well, you should respect their position. I do respect their position, and I would treat them with respect. I do not respect what they're doing with their position. I think I'm obligated by God to warn people about it too. Time to vote for Mickey Mouse over Hillary. The higher in position you go, the more service you should be doing. Matter of fact, Jesus said, the chiefest among you should be your servant. It didn't say the chiefest among you should be served. Many of you are very kind and gracious to my wife and I. And every once in a while, I understand somebody will hold the door for me, and I need to let them do that. But it bothers me. It's my job to hold the door for you. It's my job to serve you, not be served by you. We've received lots of cards and letters and gifts and 14 million calories and all the things from you for Christmas, and I thank God for it. But I'll tell you, the most awkward thing in my life was when Brother Gus had me down here in Sunday school today giving me that gift, because I just don't do well getting. I have fun giving, but I don't receive real well. Not because I'm not grateful. I'm just not real good at it. And I apologize. I'm used to giving, not getting. I'm not real comfortable getting. My wife will tell you, she's frustrated at me right now. What do you want for Christmas? Nothing. I honestly want nothing. You shouldn't do that. I said, I know, but I don't want anything. I just want to give. I don't want to get. I want to give. I know my family loves me. They don't need to give me anything. Just be here. We'll love on each other. That means more than anything to me. So, Melinda, keep your money. Go spend it on yourself. The higher in position you go, the more you should serve. Fellas, if you really want to be head of your home, serve your family. Love your family. That doesn't mean you do everything they want you to do, but you serve them. My wife, when we eat, my wife is an incredible lady. She serves me first. I notice it. It's humbling. my mom and dad or somebody's over and we have people at the house eating, if she's serving something, she serves me and then the guests. I watch her do it. Man, I'm uncomfortable with that. But that's my wife saying, he deserves that. I don't feel that way, but she does. I got her fooled, amen? You know, we don't need to be looking for people to serve us. We ought to be looking for people we can serve. That's what it's all about. To obey is better than sacrifice. Can I tell you something? Don't step out of your realm. Let's all just decide to serve God. Let's all, by the way, you're no match for the devil. You're not going to whoop him yourself. We're not even going to whoop him collectively. The only way you're going to whoop the devil is just fall in line behind God and let God do the stomping, amen? God does a better job at it than you and I could any day. Now, I do hope, like Brother Gus said, before God kicks him into hell the last time, that we all get one shot, amen? I've got the spot picked out. You can pick out any spot you want, but I got one picked out, and I'm going to give it everything I got. Can I tell you something? I hope God lets me do that. But can you imagine how mad we are at the devil? How mad God is? You almost feel sorry for the devil. Almost. Can I tell you something? Let's just stay in our realm. Let's fall in line and obey God. Somebody said, well, that Christian life, living the Christian life, so hard. Nope, down to one word, obey. Obey. By the way, that's all I've done. Obey. Well, you get criticized. So did Jesus. Don't worry about it. He became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Notice, obedient. Even God himself has to obey. And as all we have to do is obey. Obey that book. Obey what that book says. Follow it. I promise you. Prove it wrong. Can I tell you how you prove it wrong? Obey it and see if it works. Well, I tried it one time. No, you didn't try it all. Because I promise you, you obey that book, it works. Every head bowed, every eye closed. To obey is better than sacrifice. Obeying the word of God is far more important than you stepping out of your realm into somebody else's, especially God's realm.